You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Tess Michalik. Tess, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, Brainerd. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Tess, we're talking about your show at Catherine Markle, of course, and the title of the show is Sea Violet. I love that. Is that a title of a flower? Is there a sea violet?
I honestly don't know. It's the title from an HD poem, Hilda Doolittle. So I really enjoy her work.
I love that. Yeah, it's a beautiful title. So let's jump right into this work. These are, of course, a series of paintings, and you know they're often kind of floral, but they seem to have a lot of other things going on in the background, a lot of movement. So, for example, let's maybe begin with Love Crimes, a painting I love the title of. And tell me a little bit about this one, because Love Crimes sounds like there's a narrative here. Maybe there isn't, or maybe that's from a poem. But yeah, tell me a little bit about that title, I guess, to begin with.
Oh, the title, it actually harkens back to pop culture. It's a song from FKA Twigs. I tend to listen to a ton of music, and that's where that title comes from. But it does reach into other ones. I'm like, these are sweet tarts. These are moments of dialogue between people or lovers or things, and it's very close to the heart and the chest. So words can be very fun or very...
I
don't know.
Yeah,
I love this poem because it feels like a Valentine. It feels like something bad happened, but it's in this coating of soft pastel world of love.
So let's talk about how you built this, because this is oil on panel, and the way it's kind of choreographed here, the kind of movement in this feels like they're moving up or down. It's a beautiful sense of gravity and even flight in this. Let's just talk about how this is made. Does it start with a sketch, and how is one like Love Crimes built?
Yes, I do start with a sketch often and mix a palette around a set of feelings or themes. And so then I'm mixing this enormous amount of paint and trying to reimagine the sketch or the feeling that was in the sketch and put it onto the panel. So I start with like dragging a ground across and then building on top of it, sweeping in and out and trying to keep this energy, as you said, keeping the material light and heavy and trying to just make it feel as dynamic as possible with the gesture and the layering, like so something, it's very much like building something. That makes sense?
I like that. Yeah, it does. And so, also the kind of movement, right? These feel like they're falling. Is that just me or rising? They have both of that sense, again, in Love Crimes, that the movement is vertical.
Absolutely. Yes. I want it to feel like it's not in one direction. I want you to feel like you can be immersed in it. Like there is this sense of stillness and time and a movement. Like I love that it goes up and down. I want it to feel all over, and you can use your whole body to move with it.
I like that too. Yeah, it has a beautiful feeling to it. I mean, it's a poetic feeling in itself, that kind of movement, I think. So to talk about, some more, there's another one. I mean, I like all of them, but they're all so different. We're talking about similar ideas. Could Heaven Ever Be Like This? That's another, I suppose, from a song. I don't know, but that's a beautiful title. And this is quite different than the others in the sense that it seems that it's really moving out to the edge of the canvas, right? This is, it's like bursting with kind of shape and, a sense of just going beyond the edges, right? Where the others are somewhat contained, as I remember, but this one seems quite different. So tell me a little bit about this one. Could heaven ever be like this? What does that title mean to you?
That title is kind of, again, it comes from a song. I think it's Al Green. But it's thinking of this place. It's imagining something that you want, a desire. It's very longing, and it's trying to build. I think with this composition, I actually had a series of them. There were three canvases together, and it was going to be this giant field of soft undulating and of a forest or a garden, or like you're looking through into a space. So I was thinking of stretching it beyond the canvas, like giving it this energy to where it could, like, it consume all, you know, trying to make that feeling of a sugar rush last a little longer for you.
And what happened to the three panels? That was going to be three panels?
Oh, no, there are three panels. I think the space in the gallery kind of limited the amount of that could be shown. And we wanted to give the show as much variety and dynamic feeling as possible. So having the wall of paintings wasn't exactly perfect for the show, so we put one in there to kind of evoke a similar response.
Yeah, I like that. I like that so much. So let's, you know, to step back and talk about the show a little bit. We're talking about love crimes and the but heaven and never be like this. The kind of work you're doing is, you know, would you call it landscapes or floral, or how do you describe, like, your pursuit here in terms of what you're actually doing, this type of painting? Is it, could it be still life? It's something else, right? Because it's moving between, it seems, abstract work and another feeling.
I feel like I've always kind of wanted to be in the realm of abstract expressionism, and I wanted to talk mostly about the experience of making a painting, the process of making a painting, the material, and I couldn't come to just paint still life as it is. I always turned it into a sculpture, and I loved the experience of putting the brush into the paint, or pulling, or twisting, or, you know, being a little paint pig rolling around in it. So it is this experience of addressing what the oil paint can do and what my hands would do with it, and leaving that trail for other people to also feel it in their bodies, tactically or haptically, tacitly maybe. Let's see.
So let's talk about that. They're not really. Yeah, landscapes that way, but let's talk about the structure of them, because that's also what you're saying here, right? The structure is kind of like wonderfully thick, right? The painting itself is very thick here, and that's part of how you work, right? Do you work with your hands? Are you using your hands as well as brushes here?
No, I'm not using my hands. I'm using brushes, and every once in a while I'll use a giant trowel to like scrape everything off.
Messiness is about the kind of getting kind of deep into it, though, right? You're kind
correct.
Of yeah, which I love. Yeah,
it is. It's showing the again evolution of it, and I think I do look at so many different things, and I work in so many different theories for inspiration and just what I draw. So I do look at the landscape. I do think of some of them as a landscape, but maybe not in a traditional sense, more like a Joan Mitchell feeling where you can enter into it as a space and maybe have a different interaction with that.
Well, let's talk about that. I like that. Entering into it as a space. Tell me a little bit about that. Cause I know you're in Brooklyn, right? I guess there's the botanical gardens and a lot of other places, but it's a totally urban environment, and so what does it mean to enter into that space? You're working in the city, but you're making work that is, as you say, about entering into a space somewhere, a kind of a space that's botanical, right? Or Or similar? Yeah, tell me about
It could
that.
be. It could be. It could be like entering a botanical space, indeed. I often think of gardens, and Brooklyn, there's Gramercy Park in Manhattan. You can't go in it unless you live there or something. And there are no real gardens to say unless it's someone's beautiful backyard. Or if you go to Provincetown, there are just beautifully sculpted front yards full of blossoms that bloom all throughout the season. So I think of all these different places, and I kind of try to bring them in through my own experience of being in them and put them out there for other people. And the
So
Botanic Garden is
are
fabulous.
these
You get to see the
specific places?
seasons.
Right. And are these specific places that you're talking about?
No,
When you
not
say
really.
you're drawing from them, are they places that you've been to, or are these kind of
No,
or are they
they're not.
imagination?
They're mostly imagination, but they do. I do go out and draw in nature, and I'm not trying to recreate a specific place. I'm trying to recreate a specific mindset, maybe, or
Tell
something.
me about that. Like, what kind of a mindset? So you are actually out there. That makes you a plein air painter a little bit, right? You're out there in the field, you're saying, or is that more of the sketching process?
That's the sketching process. No, I'm mostly in the studio painting. So when I go out and draw or paint like watercolor, like just little sketches of actual like plants, I feel like that's a very different brain that's using like a more academic kind of straightforward thing. Whereas with my paintings that I'm exhibiting, it's different. It's more about about creating a relationship of figure ground that's and then obliterating it, maybe, or specifically thinking about all those emotions that come with those colors, right? They're kind of taboo, right, or something. Like when you look at Fragonard, people in academia didn't like him. They went out of fashion for so long. And I was one of those kids that loved Boucher and Fragonard and all the different ways that it was used, and through like their textiles production and tapestries and everything that Boucher was into for the king.
So is that what you mean when you talk about entering into the space? You're creating works where people can enter into the space. I guess that's what you're talking about right now a
You can
little bit in terms of
a little
entering into
bit.
the space.
Maybe. In terms of entering the space, it's just trying to feel through the painting and feeling how it was made, and have just a moment where you can follow a trace, a brush mark, or a swipe of paint or something. And really, it's a place to slow down, and you can enter the painting and find your own way through it, hopefully lyrically through my marks, and give yourself space to just feel things and reflect and be very like present or feel safe.
I
It's
like
just a
that.
place.
So that is a kind of, I mean, again, that's as in contrast to the city, where it's sort of the opposite of that, isn't it? The city landscape, walking to the deli, going to the corner bodega or something. Would you say
Yeah,
that's
it's
the
not
opposite of that,
pretty.
or?
It's very much the opposite of that. It's a space that's quiet just for you, and it's not out there in the world, as you say, walking to the train or the bodega and all the sounds and noises and experiencing the feedback of everything and everyone around you, the cars, the bikes, the birds. It's a place to meditate on things.
Yeah, that's
And
so
it's like
true.
a gate. I usually think of gardens as gates, like, or a sense of protection, like a veil of golden roses where you can be yourself and have, as an empath, it's very easy to absorb lots of emotions and lots of noise and lots of other people, right? So you try to build these little boundaries that remind yourself, right? They're these little thorns, so you don't accept too much, or two people can't come and engage with you as hard as you want, right? It's about learning boundaries for yourself, I think. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I like that. I like
Or
that. Well,
barriers, or energy barriers, or something.
and is that what you mean by safety? That's the safety aspect of it?
Yes.
A safe place, I think you said, right? Something like that.
Yes. Yeah, a safe place is what I'm trying to create, maybe.
There's another one, possession, which is quite different than the rest also. This is almost entirely green and quite unlike could heaven be like this and love crimes. This is centered, it has that kind of verticality, but something else seems to be happening here. And it does, I mean, that title makes me feel like it's a bit mesmerizing to look at this.
Yes, exactly. Like you're in the water column. You're in the water lily ponds, and it's more about going inside, but it's a false front, right? Because it is so thin. It is hard to dive deep, right? It is all about the density of the pigment and the gesture as it like disturbs the other gestures, right? It's very on the surface. So it's kind of like, again, it mimics the thick pastel and pastel surfaces of the other paintings that are built up, but this is very much like a mesmerizing little trick, as you say. It is one central composition. It's a thing in space, and you're engaging that instead of an all-over, like a spreading growth.
Mm. I like that. And I was reading about things you had done in the past, and you also published, right? Devour, that was in collaboration with a Brooklyn-based collective.
Yeah.
Can you tell
me
a little bit about that? Yeah, that seems so interesting.
Oh, so Raw Meat Collective is this initiative here in Brooklyn. And we got together during the pandemic, and we fell in love with being a part of something visceral and in your hands that you can touch and feel. And it was released during the pandemic. So we did this shoot, this film shoot, and we published a little newspaper of just mostly complete images. And we were all dressed up in these costumes, taking on characters in a way that, or personas in a way, and you're just devouring all of the senses. So that was kind of again what I try to put in painting, is like you are consuming all of this. It's a gluttony, it's a overabundance of something, of the paint or of flowers. You have this oblivion of flowers and these all over compositions of thick marks that you then have to navigate which way is the ceiling. So getting lost, getting entirely like consumed in your one, in your body and mind, and just disconnecting. And that was what Devour was all about. It was this rebellion against being alone and being not able to go out or see anybody or have as much of anything you used to have. That was a really wonderful experience.
I love that. So it's really about sensuality too, which in a way all these paintings in the show we're talking about are, but the Raw Meat Collective sounds like, among other things, it's about a kind of sensuality, touch, right, which we were losing in the pandemic.
Yes, and touch and sensuality, indeed. I think that was the big part of it. We came together and all of our tastes and interests kind of just like collided, and we were able to create something tangible. So amazing.
Yeah, I love that. It's great talking to you about this. Tess, I want to ask you one more question before we go a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
What am I reading at the moment? I just picked up a copy of Lonesome Dove, the Great American Western. I'm getting ready to dive into that.
Oh, yeah. I've never read Lonesome Dove. Larry McMurtry, right? Yeah, he's quite a writer. I read a book, Walter Benjamin at the Dairy Queen, which was really cool, more about him thinking. Have you read any of his writing before?
I have not, but I've read a ton of Cormac McCarthy, and so we're on this little vein of Western and great American storytelling. It's interesting.
Cormac McCarthy is really extraordinary. What was the last thing you read of Cormac McCarthy? I love Cormac McCarthy.
Oh, Let's see. Well, the Blood Meridian, I read that again recently just to refresh, and it was so beautiful. And All the Pretty Horses, right? I think that was the one that really roped me in. Just one lone boy going through it and coming out the other end, kind of changed.
Yeah, just amazing. Cormac McCarthy's an incredible writer.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you read his last book, the two that he wrote when he was, I guess, 89. Those were also pretty amazing.
I haven't read those. Are they?
Yeah, the last two, and what was it called? The Passenger and Stella Maris. Beautiful, beautiful books added to your list because they're again, like, there he is at 89, and he's like as amazing as ever in a way, kind of at his best form. But well, thanks for sharing that with me. Lonesome Dove, beautiful title, and I haven't read that. I put that on my list as well. Tess, I want to thank you for talking with me today. And for listeners, of course, there's links here so you can hopefully go see the show before it closes. And if not, learn more. Tess, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Brandon. It was an excellent conversation. Thank you. My pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.